Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. How is 1S Network doing? We'll check in to find out when series producers Marianne Hoffo, Elka Ropeshaw, and Kurt Jordan join me next. How did the early round of Primetime Emmy Awarding turn out this Labor Day weekend? We'll have a recap of results this half hour. Initial reaction next. Also ahead, new series moves from Norman Lear, Steven Spielberg, and Kenya Barris. TVG becomes FanDuel TV, and our classic trivia answer. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and other leading podcast sites. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Wonderful to have you with us on this post-Labor Day weekend Tuesday to you and all, and we welcome you to the program All About TV's Current and Future. Hope you had a fantastic holiday weekend. I sure did with my parents. Hope you did with people you love. And we're delighted to have you all aboard. You, and especially you. 71 degrees top of the hour. It's a well rainy day with a lot of clouds, too, here in the New York metro area. Wherever you're at, we're happy you're with us. And we invite you to be part of the program. We've got a lot of things to do this hour ahead. So be with us and get involved. How? Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Don't forget, we have a chat room business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can use it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, as always, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Let's hit me live with you. Our guests from 1SNet will be live from the London area and Seattle. Cross-country, you might say, across the Atlantic, too, right after these news notes. You could conclude a 5 o'clock world, perhaps a quick tribute to the 1960s tune turned Drew Carey show inspiration, is turning after the opening round of 2022 Primetime Emmy Awards Labor Day weekend. Five programs have 5 Emmys so far. Adele's CBS One Night Only special, Disney Plus's The Beatles Get Back documentary miniseries, HBO's Euphoria, and miniseries The White Lotus, and Stranger Things on Netflix. HBO racked up 21 Emmys, tops among streaming services, followed by Netflix with 19, Disney Plus with 10, and Hulu with 8. Disney Plus also had the surprise win of the weekend, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers for Outstanding TV Movie. I'll have more thoughts on that development and other initial Emmy comments in our next half hour. All sorts of news this afternoon over new TV series moves from top TV makers. Norman Lear will join forces with Amazon Freebie on Clean Slate, a relationship dramedy starring Laverne Cox and George Wallace. Both stars will produce and write episodes. Elsewhere, Steven Spielberg and his Amblin TV Enterprise, has an American history series in development concerning the Battle of Homestead labor strike in 1892. Oscar-winning actor Mark Rylance and playwright wife Claire Van Kampen will deliver the series and develop an association with Spielberg. And elsewhere, Blacklist creator and BC Studios investor Kenya Barris will executive produce The Vince Staples Show, a comedy with actor-musician Staples headlining. This Barris project is expected to play on Netflix next year. TVG lives no more. Long live FanDuel Television. Today is day one for FanDuel's move into the TV network universe, taking over the former all-horse racing channel on cable and satellite. Sports wagering will be the focus of this venture, kicking off with Up and Adams, hosted by former NFL Network morning show personality Kay Adams. Other series attractions include More Ways to Win with Lisa Kearney, formerly the ESPN Sports Center, content ahead from Pat McAfee and Bill Simmons, and international basketball coverage. Some TVG coverage from various racetracks will continue on FanDuel Television. A second service, FanDuel Plus, is expected to start by the end of this month on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and other smart TV products. Now, quickies. Samantha Morton will star in new Paramount Plus thriller series, The Burning Girls. Production begins later this week in England. Fox's latest season of Hell's Kitchen pits 40-something cooks against 20-something challengers. This Battle of the Ages starts September 29th. And Atlanta Emmy Award nominee Zazie Beetz will join the cast of Full Circle. That's HBO Max's 6-episode miniseries directed in its entirety by Steven Soderbergh. And that is news notes for today. A couple of years ago, we first introduced you to a project called 1S Network, a new channel presented on smart TV sets and smart TV devices by an entrepreneur by the name of Olga Nernestova. I know Olga because I've known her for a long time in all sorts of different ways, and we had her on in early 2020. Then came the pandemic, and 1S got postponed. However, back in July, we had her back on again because 1S finally launched. Well, now 1S is almost in its third month of operation, and we wanted to revisit the service and see how it is doing. Well, you're about to hear three series producers. All of them have some of the top-rated programs on that service, which again is available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. Joining us live from the London area via satellite is the producer of Discover Cook Connect, Marianne Hospel. Marianne, welcome in.
Thank you very much, Simon. It's great to be here.
And same to have you here. Now joining us live from Seattle, Washington, are two producers behind a group called Khan Academy, and I believe a series of the same name or close, Elka Robshaw and Kirk Jordan. Elka and Kirk, great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, the same here.
Marianne, we'll start with you. Tell us about Discover Cook Connect, what it's all about.
Right, so this basically is a series that is quite different from any cooking show. It is about cooking, but not as you know it, as they would say in space. So this program or this series of programs is not just about what we cook, recipes and things like that, or how we cook, what do we do to make the recipe, but also why we cook. Why does it work? Why doesn't it work? But even why do we cook? Where? How do we make our environment as enjoyable as possible? When are we going to cook? When we're really, really tired after we come home from work? Or are we going to work around how our bodies work and when we are most astute to cooking? And who cooks? Is it you? Is it someone else? Who are you as a cook? So I believe that all those things really build together that you can work on to make sure that you don't just cook, but you enjoy cooking. Simon, I call myself a cooking enjoyment expert, and that's exactly what I want to bring across to my audience.
Did you try to get this on other channels before you approached 1S?
I did not, and Honest actually approached me because they knew I was out there, and they knew that I was doing something very, very different, and that's what Honest is all about, doing something very, very different. So this actually came about because I was going to launch, and we will still be launching, a virtual cooking club of the same name. But Honest got there first, so it's now a TV show, and the virtual cooking club will follow later. So this is brand new, and brand new started on Honest.
Elka, let's start with you about what you're doing with Kurt. What is Khan Academy, first of all, and is the show named after this organization, or is it totally different, and what's the idea of your show?
Okay, so the show is not named after Khan Academy, but what we are all about is we are all about empowering kids. So that is our mission, and everything we do is aimed at working with kids and empowering them so that they can grow up and be the adults that contribute to making this world a better place. And so we started in August with four movement episodes. So it was movement at home, movement for kids. That was great. That was a lot of fun. We became really popular in Japan, of all places, which we did not expect. And now in September, we moved towards more working with parents, so giving advice to parents and help them to be the best parents they can be, because that's what kids need.
Yeah. Kurt, jump in here. What do you want to do in the parenting TV space that other shows are not doing?
Yeah, so basically a lot of parent experts, they don't put things simple and actionable, and because of that, it becomes this big, complicated theory that it just leaves parents more confused. Even though they might have some theory, they don't have some practical advice of what to do. And so many parents don't know, you know, the ins and outs of working with children, and even though they're the 100% the best person for the job, they don't have necessarily the skill set, and for a lot of people, they grow into it, and they just kind of hope that things that they're doing are the best. And what we want to do is we want to help parents, because if we help parents, we inadvertently help the kids, which helps everybody. How we want to help is we want to give parents the understanding of basic things that really make a big difference and structurally, like, What are your family rules? And what are your family rules, not just based off of, you know, the things that that matter to you, but how do you want your kids to grow up? and what values do you have that we can stem and build rules off of? And what are your routines and what are your consequences? And ultimately, we're just really kind of promoting the idea that for parents, the main role of a parent is that you have this child and it requires 100% of your protection, all of their basic needs, their food, their shelter, their safety, their, you know, their love and their connection, and everything 100% is based off of protection for that child. And the goal of parenting is to move them from requiring 100% protection to becoming fully prepared. So we try to move the weights from the scale from protection into preparation so kids can be prepared and make responsible decisions, become independent to where they can provide those things for themselves and create another family structure for the under their own, you know, under their own new brand. So we want to be able to bring all of those things to families through this network.
Three top series seducers from 1S Network, which is now about 3 months old, started earlier this summer. They are with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. From the London area of England, we have Discover, Cook, Connect producer Marianne Hospel. And from Seattle, we have producers Elke Robichaud and Kurt Jordan. And they're all, as I said, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, along with you, and you, and especially you out there. Tommy Abbott, I'm with you live from the other side of the USFA, from Seattle. That's New York City. We're getting drenched with a lot of rain at 71 degrees at the top of the hour. Want to hear from you. Just all you have to do is pick up the phone and make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have another episode of our program coming your way at our regular time, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Then we have a triple header of shows for you the following week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday, September 12th, 15th, and 16th. And on our show 1 week from Friday, we'll have the people behind a very interesting new project called TV Coins. It just got $10 million in investment funding. It's a venture designed to help get new networks on the air. But not only that, also to encourage people to watch those networks once they get on the air. Again, the project is called TV Coins. You'll meet the Chief Executive Officer, Yassi Alan, and we'll have the Chief Revenue Officer, Gustavo Mana. Coming up a week from Friday, September 16th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Marianne, with your series, is it basically studio-based, or do you try to go in the field and do some interesting production work?
Both, basically. For the moment, because I launched the show together with Honest, for the moment, we've not been out and about in the field too much, except in this episode. I also am a private chef, Simon. And in the episode that's coming out tomorrow, actually, I'm giving our audience a sneak peek behind the scenes of being a private chef. So there's some little bit out and about work there. We also plan to travel. I'm actually Dutch, and we definitely try and integrate some of that into the series as well. I mean, it's wide and far, basically. Not one show is the same format as the next one. So there'll be a lot of surprises along the way.
Mm-hmm. What sort of myths about the why behind food do you want to tackle on this series?
Sorry, can you repeat that, Simon?
Yes. You mentioned earlier that you want to deal with the why behind food or food habits. What kind of why topics do you want to get into?
Well, basically, Simon, the way I see it is that Discover Cook Connect is all about building a cooking lifestyle. And what that means is that, well, if you think about what a lifestyle is the way we live. And that's based on a number of factors that make us who we are and that make us thrive and aim for the things that we feel are important to us and to our lives. And that's influenced by a variety of factors. And I believe that a cooking lifestyle is basically similar to that, is the way we cook, but not just it comprises of all these different elements that for us, in a very personal way, makes up our own personal cooking lifestyle. So why we cook, for instance, is very much geared into, not actually very far disconnected from what Kong Academy, what Kurt just said. It's about it being part of our life rather than something we do either as a chore or something we do because purely for nutrition reasons. If that's your why you cook, then great, and you can build your cooking lifestyle around that. But I think for most of us, it is deeper than that. It's about nurturing ourselves and the people around us. It's about creating food memories, and people forget we create food memories every single day for ourselves and other people around us. And I'd like those food memories to be happy memories, right? So that's another why that people may not realize, but actually when they look at their own lives, some of their happiest moments or even sometimes of their most conflicting moments or frustrating moments may well be linked to food or memory around food or sitting around a table or traveling or things like that. So why around food is very, very wide, actually. And all those things are, I think, more along the mindset side of cooking, but those are the kind of things that I think are also very important to realize, to become aware of, and to build those into your cooking lifestyle. Once you're aware of why you cook, you actually become happier to cook, because you have a reason, you have a purpose, and an awareness around that.
Kurt, how long have you and Elka looked at doing a parenting series?
Oh, time management is not my strongest skill set. So Elka might be a better qualified to answer that. But I would say in the past, so I've been working with kids for over 20 years, and most of the things that I know and have learned and experienced, most parents don't. And so the inspiration came from the idea, at least, that it isn't right that parents are not taught this information, and then they're not given this information in a simple, concrete way. And so this has been something in the, you know, in development for over 20 years, just based on the experience. But specifically, how long for parents? Maybe a year or two. Elka, what's the accurate number?
Okay. So it's over the last 6 years, we've worked with 10,000 kids, and all of those kids came with parents, and with many of those parents came questions and challenges and stuff that they shared with us, and where they didn't have an answer. And so they talked to us, they asked us questions. So it slowly developed without actually being the intention of ever becoming a parenting course or parenting classes. And it is, yeah, the last year or two where we've become more intentional and we started developing it, because we saw that parents need support. Parents have a lot of questions that they need answers for. And Simon also, because one of the things you asked earlier to Kurt is like, what makes us different? It's that a lot of parenting advice is kind of 257 tips and tricks. The problem is when you're in the moment with your child, you just don't remember any of those tips and tricks. They all go down the drain, and you just do the same thing that you've been doing for the last few years, and then you just feel really frustrated. So we just take all of this away and really build a strong foundation of values, as Kurt mentioned earlier. And so that's really what makes us different. It's not about tips and tricks and hacks and whatever, all this other stuff. It's about building a solid foundation so you don't need any hacks, because you're all on the same page. And but yeah, our intention was never to make a parenting course. It really came from our parents with the questions and challenges they had, and that Kurt just always knew how to answer and how to solve.
Mm-hmm. And also, Elka, I'm curious, what, like Marianne's situation, was this a case of Onest or Onest coming to you, or was it the other way around, you and Kurt going to Onest?
So we met Olga last year at a podcast, interviewed us for her podcast, and we just really, it just really clicked. I mean, I think Olga is such an absolutely outstanding, extraordinary person, and she really, really enjoyed or appreciated what we were doing, and so we stayed in touch, and she told us about Onest, and it was kind of slowly developed, and but yes, so we never had the intention of being on TV or doing a TV thing. It was more just kind of the regular route that most people go.
Mm-hmm. In a moment, I'm going to ask all three of our guests what it's like to be first-time producers in television, and what kind of feedback are they getting from viewers early on in Onest Network or Onest Network's run. We're speaking with, from Discover Cook Connect, producer Marianne Haskell. She joins us live from the London area in Great Britain. And we have the organizers of Khan Academy, who have their own parenting series on the service, Elka Robshaw and Kurt Jordan. They're both joining us live from Seattle. And you're joining us wherever you are, right here this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you from New York, 71 degrees at the top of the hour. If the question or comment remaining minutes with our trio of producers, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up our next half hour, we'll have the answer to the classic trivia question we posed over the last 2 weeks on this program. Plus, I'll have some initial thoughts about the Primetime Emmy Awards opening round this Labor Day weekend. And I also have a little message for the people doing the show next Monday night on NBC and Peacock. We're talking the hosts, the presenters, the writers, the producers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have a message to get ahead of the game for you, so stay tuned for that as well. And we want to hear your thoughts about the Emmys as well, so do so by phone or by chat room. We are just waiting and listening for you. Marianne, I'll start with you. What are you learning being a first-time TV producer doing this series?
I'm learning every day, but it's building on experience that I already have. So what I'm learning actually is that I need to contain myself to not try and give too much value to in each of the programs, because that can become very overwhelming. So I'm learning to pace myself, because I have so much to give, but I need to pace it over different episodes. And I think the obviously we're only starting to get early feedback, seeing, you know, these programs are very new, but I think I also speak for Kong Academy, that I think people are realizing that certainly Kong Academy and Discover Cook Connect, we are very different from the average shows. And I think that's the case for most shows, if not all the shows on this network. They're slightly different, and it makes people curious. And when people are curious, they watch, they listen, and they learn, and they get inspired. And that's, I think, what not just the network is about, but also what Kong Academy and my show is about, is to inspire and give a new view, a different view to things that people think they already know, but actually to bring it into a wider context, so that, again, those foundations are there. So it's taken it to a slightly different level, and I think that's certainly what I'm hearing in the feedback. Don't know about you guys, Kong Academy, I'll concur, but I think that's the big difference. We're a bit disruptive in that way.
And Marianne, what kind of viewer reaction are you getting early on?
Well, as I say, just that this is something different. People keep telling me, and I've done courses on these subjects before as well, and the reaction is always quite similar in that you make me think about food and the reason why I cook and how I feel when I cook completely in a different way. I've never seen that on any other cooking shows. They still initially call me a cooking show until they realize, well, it is, but it isn't, because I do give a lot of what's traditionally taught or you know, information and insights, but it brings it to a level where people say, huh, no one's ever made me think of it that way. That's great. That's completely new. And that's the whole point, and I love that.
Elke and Kurt, your thoughts about being first-time producers. What's it been like for you to put your show on the air?
One of the things that I learned is that it's actually a lot of work. I mean, it's significantly more work than I thought it was going to be, and it's also just dealing with the production and all the deadlines and all. It's a pretty tough business. But one of the things I was really surprised by was the countries that we reached. I mean, I never thought that we would be popular in Japan, or when Olga releases the stats and then you see all those different countries, like, I know people in Montenegro watch our show, or I know people in Africa, and that's pretty impactful. So that's one of the things I was really surprised when you see the stuff, when you see the countries coming in and realizing that there are people in 70 different countries that watch our show.
Mm-hmm. And Kurt, what about viewer feedback? What have you gotten from the viewers so far?
Yeah, so the viewers that we've heard from so far have found that this has been really helpful. They were really grateful to have some a voice that they can ask questions to, because one of the things that we've been able to do for the show is a live Q&A where people can actually ask questions in real time. So we would present a subject. And the recent subject that we were able to present is getting back to school, because many parents are going through this transition with their kids right now. And so, you know, how do you set yourself up for success and all this other stuff? So we were able to present this topic, but the cool thing about it was that we were able to do it with parents and viewers in real time, and they were able to ask questions. And to have another medium to be able to help families kind of carve out success for themselves going forward has been really rewarding, and we've been given a lot of gratitude and positive feedback. And so it warms my heart. It makes me feel like we have more purpose and that we're giving more value, and that's something that can't be beat. So I'm loving it.
How do all three of you promote your programming apart from what Onest or Onest does? For example, Mary, I understand you are known on the web as the Dutch foodie. Do you try to use a website or social media to get your thing to get people watching? And Elton and Kurt, same thing with through Khan Academy.
Yeah, sure. So I am indeed known as a Dutch foodie because I am Dutch and I'm a foodie. It sort of speaks for itself, right? And I've had a website in that name since before I even became a professional private chef. So obviously I have the usual social media of that same name. You just type in the Dutch foodie, by the way. Don't forget the other Dutch foodies are available. So the Dutch foodie. And you'll see all my social media, Facebook, whatever. So yeah, I'm promoting not just obviously on this network, but also my Discover Cook Connect program, which is a key part of what I do, because I'm also a virtual cooking coach, and that sort of shows in the programs, which is why it has a slightly different angle than purely like the practical side of things. So yeah, you'll find the Dutch Foodie website, social media, and it's absolutely great. So.
And Elton and Kurt, what about both of you?
Yeah, I mean, we use social media, just the standard platforms to promote our show. I mean, and to promote our business. But we also use just personal groups. So, like for my episode last week, which was about third culture kids, I interviewed a couple of third culture kids and people that raise third culture kids, and so I'm using those groups and their networks to promote the show and to promote the company. So I think it's just the standard, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those things that we use to promote the shows and to promote Onest and what Onest stands for and what Onest does, because it is pretty unusual and it's just a different approach.
For any of you, and we'll leave this segment on this note, any tips for people who want to follow in your footsteps and do a show, whether it's for Onest or for somebody else?
Well, my advice would be just do it. I would say just do it. If you have something that you is worth sharing with the world, then don't think twice about it. Just do it and share it, because you don't know the value of what you have to share until you go out there and share it.
Anybody else?
And for me, I would say to follow your passion, because whatever your passion is truly lies in one of a calling or a pursuit, and whatever you're passionate about, you're willing to put in the hours and struggle more and actually endure and develop that endurance and be able to push forward through things that are going to be difficult. And that is where you will grow your competency. And if you become competent at something that you're passionate about and it's valuable, it's truly valuable to people, then you will find an audience. And so I would strongly recommend that if anybody has a pursuit that they truly are passionate about, is to just follow what you love and let all other things follow, because from that you will then have something that truly matters and is meaningful.
I completely agree with Marianne and Kurt. So follow your passion, because if you're passionate about this, someone else, it's very likely that you will find other people. However, also be realistic. Don't think you will be able to do, you know, to change the world and everything you do in a day or a week. It's plan ahead, be realistic, and follow your passion.
And so it goes. Onest or Onest Network with Olga Nesterova, the entrepreneur and runner of the service. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, including Roku. So check the smart TV product or multi-channel bundle U to see where the network is playing or if it is playing. If not now, very soon. And for more details about the service online, here's where you go, www.onestornestnetwork.com. It's www.onestnetwork.com. Again, playing on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And again, thank you to Olga, by the way, for putting together our segment with our producers, our trio producers this afternoon. Marianne, Helka, Kurt, thank you all very much for being on. Congratulations on getting on Olga's service, and hopefully a great long run to each and every one of you on this service, and hopefully other things in TV coming your way too.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Simon.
You're very, very welcome, everyone. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Great. Marianne Hospel, Elka Robshaw, and Kurt Jordan all joining us live from London and Seattle, Washington, this half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. When we come back, we'll have our classic trivia answer, and we'll have some initial reaction, hopefully with you aboard too, on what's already taken place with the 2022 Primetime Emmy Awards. And I have some thoughts for the people doing the awards ceremony next Monday night on NBC and Peacock. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out tonight the Hilltop Radio Show on BTR, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, for a different kind of music radio experience. It's the Hilltop Radio Show tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. We're back with you on the day after Labor Day 2022. A beautiful Tuesday wherever you are. Simon, I'm with you live from wherever you are. 71 degrees the bottom of the hour. Rain still coming down. We expect to have more tomorrow. And hopefully by Thursday, we will have it all disappear with lots of nice, sunny or partly cloudy skies to take us into the next weekend. And we want to hear from you with some thoughts about the Primetime Emmy Awards that took place over Labor Day weekend. Were there any shows you liked that got in? Were there any shows you liked that didn't get in? And other thoughts as well. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. And don't forget, you can also use our chat room. It's in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Before we get to all of that, let's do the answer to our classic trivia question that we have posed over the last 2 weeks. Very simple question and a very simple answer. Who created Candid Camera? The answer, Mr. Candid Camera himself, Alan Funt. Did it in the late 1940s. Originally, it was a radio series called Candid Microphone, then went to television under Candid Camera. It was in so many different ways in the 1950s, then became a weekly series on CBS in 1960, hosted first by Arthur Godfrey with Alan Funt. Then came Gerard Kirby, Dorothy Collins, and later Beth Meyerson. Then in the 70s, became a syndicated show with hosts like John Bartholomew Tucker, Phyllis George, Joanne Flug, and others. And it's been around one way or another in the decades since, currently hosted by Alan's son, Peter Funt. So once again, who created Candid Camera? Alan Funt. Nobody got the question, so we still have three prizes in play. They are the Nickelodeon Loudmouth Christmas card set and two best-selling books by recent TWBT guests. That's Paul Freeman's The Unexpected Danny Green being looked at as a possible television series in the scripted arena, and Flirting with Fame by noted entertainment public relations guru Dan Harari. So we will bring you a new classic trivia question next Monday. I'm going to give it a little bit of a rest. So next Monday we'll have a brand-new question. And if you know the answer when you hear it, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you email, enclose your name and your address as well as the correct answer. And if you're a previous winner, no go because you're not eligible. Excuse me. And if you win, you'll get three prizes. Maybe we'll add a fourth, too. We'll see. So, again, be part of the program. Get involved with our classic trivia contest. We do it every week. We usually have a question available for 2 weeks if need be. By the way, if we don't get a winner by end of next Monday, we will post the question Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook on Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. As always, in order to win, there's only one way to do it. Play in. Do so when we have our next trivia question a week from, well, next Monday. I was going to say a week from yesterday. I did. So, week from yesterday, next Monday, however you want to say it, that we go. And no matter what, get in the game, okay? And all the very best. And now, let's give you some initial reactions to the Emmy Awards that took place over Labor Day weekend. Yes, they did take place over Labor Day weekend. First round was called the Creative Arts category. Remember, the major primetime awards will be coming your way next Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on NBC and Peacock. For those who missed our first half hour, let's tell you that we have five shows that all have 5 awards each. CBS is special with Adele, One Night Only. The Beatles Get Back documentary miniseries on Disney Plus, Euphoria, and The White Lotus from HBO, and Stranger Things from Netflix, all with 5 awards each. Squid Game, by the way, got 4. And in terms of the overall streaming services, HBO received 21, Netflix 19, Disney Plus 10, Hulu 8, quite a few of them for only Murders in the Building, and then CBS, NBC, and Prime Video from Amazon with 5 each. Wide variety of shows won over Saturday and Sunday of this weekend. I mentioned the CBS Adele special. I mentioned the Beatles Get Back special. The Pepsi Halftime Show, for the very first time, won an Emmy Award. And Only Murders in the Building did pretty good, too. By the way, we had 3 of the Emmy nominees on this program over the last month. First, we had Nina Erb, who was up for her 2nd Emmy Award for her work as a film editor on the popular HBO series Insecure, which wrapped up 5 seasons with Issa Rae this past summer. And she lost. Who won? Somebody from another HBO show, Barry. That's what, Barry did quite well on Sunday night. We have won 3 or 4 Emmy Awards for different categories. Then we had Mike Pritchett, the cinematographer, the very inspiring cinematographer behind another HBO series that will be coming back next year, 100 Foot Wave. Well, he did win for outstanding cinematography for a nonfiction series. Deserved it. Congratulations, Mike. And we're very happy that we had you on our show. And finally, we had Christopher McDonald, the popular actor. You see him in many a TV series and movie. He was up for outstanding guest actor in a comedy series for his work on Hacks. Well, another HBO show, actually, I'm sorry, he lost. Who won? Well, for the very first time, none other than Broadway star, TV star, movie star, Nathan Lane. He did it for his guest role on the Hulu series, Only Murders in the Building. Congratulations to our 3 nominees and 1 winner for being on our show. You can hear those episodes at blogtalkradio.com/televised, all of our podcast destinations, as well as our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. It was a pleasure to have all 3, Nina Erb, Chris McDonald, Mike Pritchett, on our program. And again, congratulations to Mike for the big win, which he got on Saturday night. Also, it was nice to see one of the nominees that I picked when we had Mark Berman on the program for the Performing Insider last Wednesday on the show, and that was for the outstanding main title. It was Severance by the really gifted title maker Oliver Latta. It was very Saul Bass in the making. If you know Saul Bass, one of the great title makers of film and television fame, it's really marvelous. It was a very tough category. Great title for Fritchenko, which a lot of people were hoping would win. Foundation had a very good title. The other nominees were good, too. And in the end, Severance came through. So Apple TV Plus got a win for that show. And congratulations to Oliver for a brilliant title. If you haven't seen that title, it is on YouTube, and it is sensational. By far, the most controversial award of the weekend was Outstanding Made-for-TV or Television Movie. The nominees were The Survivor, the acclaimed HBO film directed by Barry Levinson, whose star Ben Foster was not nominated, and a lot of people thought gave one of the best performances of the year. There was Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, one-shot movie by Netflix. It was a reboot of a very popular syndicated show during the 1990s. It was a mix of live action and animation. There was the Ray Donovan offshoot sequel on Showtime. There was Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas, the offshoot of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist on NBC. And let me see if there's one more. And there was one other movie that was up as well. As it turned out, Chip and Dale won. That's right, Chip and Dale won. A lot of people were very angry about it. They were angry because, what? A revival of a cartoon show in syndication from the 1990s gets in on Disney Plus when you have HBO Survivor, you have the Ray Donovan movie, you have Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas, and other nominees. What the heck? What happened? Frankly, it was a very tough category. I picked The Survivor. I also thought Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas had a very good shot, which was the first major nomination for the Roku channel. Roku, incidentally, did win a short-form Emmy Award for the very first time. It's their first award ever, and it was for one of the shows that they got from Quibi, when many of those shows moved over. When Quibi ended its run, moved over to Roku, and one of those won a short-form Emmy Award. And there's been a lot of outrage about the result. The result got Daniel Feinberg, the popular critic of The Hollywood Reporter and the co-host of TV's Top 5 Trivia Podcast with West Coast TV analyst Leslie Goldberg, to say, given the fact that this category used to have such winners as Brian Song, the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, and The Band Played On, they should get rid of the category. So there was a lot of controversy among the critics and people on Twitter and social media about Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers winning. I can understand why it won. It was a very different kind of film. It was both a mix of live-action animation. It was a satire on the whole idea of Disney taking some of its most popular feature characters or animated characters like Chip and Dale and turning it into a movie. So it was sort of a satire on itself, if you will. So I understand why it won. And sadly, what it's done, frankly, is it has put more controversy about the made-for-TV movie category, which there is already a lot of controversy about. I have said on this program before, and I did on Wednesday with Mark Berman, that I think the made-for-TV movie genre is getting bad treatment by the Emmys. The fact that the TV movie category, which used to be a major category on the primetime telecast, it used to be at some point the last award that was given, and some would say the most prestigious, with the likes of Brian Song and then The Band Played On and the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman winning. And now here it is, not being televised, with some might say dubious nominees, and it's like an afterthought. Not to mention the fact that actors, writers, directors of made-for-TV movies that used to have their own category don't anymore, because now they combine them with the miniseries category or limited series category. That's why Ben Foster from The Survivor, despite excellent reviews and many people thinking he would be a shoo-in to definitely get nominated, didn't get nominated because of all the miniseries nominees that did get in to the acting categories. And I've said before, and I'll say it again right here, there is no way that you can judge acting, writing, directing, cinematography for a made-for-TV movie that runs 90 minutes to 2 hours and put it up against miniseries programming that runs 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours, etc. There is no way you can judge performances or writing or directing or photography or film, etc., between these two genres. These are two separate genres that deserve their own categories. And for the life of me, I don't understand why the Emmy Award people decided at some point in the last couple of years to combine the two, with the exception of the program itself. Nobody asked for it. Nobody was chanting for it. Nobody was protesting for it. It just happened. The Television Academy people just decided, without any input whatsoever, it seems, to do it. Well, it's time for them to undo it, especially when more people are making made-for-TV movies than ever before. Lifetime is making movies. Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movie and Mystery is making movies. Netflix is making movies. Roku is making movies. In fact, coming up in November is the Weird Al Yankovic movie with Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al Yankovic. And a lot of people are already saying that could definitely be up for made-for-TV movie honors and for the Emmys next year, and maybe Daniel's performance also, if he were to get a separate category to be awarded in or to be nominated for. It is time that the TV Academy take a good, hard, long look at the damage they are doing to a great genre of television. And it's also time that things get righted up. It's time to right the ship. It's time for separate categories for acting, for made-for-TV movie and miniseries, directing, writing, cinematography, etc., as well as programs themselves. And it's also time, I think, for the made-for-TV movie genre believers. I'm talking about the folks at Lifetime and Up and BET and the broadcast networks and other cable networks and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, et cetera, and Roku, et cetera, to band together and to organize a powwow with the TV Academy people and stand their ground. It's time. We're talking about a great genre that is expanding, not contracting. And I hope that nobody decides to take Daniel Feinberg's suggestion seriously of getting rid of the category. I'm sorry, Daniel. Love you. Love you what you do, and you're wrong. This is not the time to cut the category. It's time to expand the category, bring it back to what it was, and the TV Academy people to admit, you know what, we screwed up. It's time to get things back and right the ship. And if, by the way, if the TV Academy people would like to come on this program and defend what they're doing with Made for TV, I'm all ears. We'd love to have them on. So let's go, folks. Let's make it happen. Now, before we move on, I want to offer a message specifically at everybody who's going to be involved in hosting, presenting, writing, directing, and producing the Primetime Emmy Awards ceremony coming your way Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on NBC and Peacock. Simulcast on both services the first time. It will be live to all time zones. Here is the message. When you put your show together this coming week, or if you're going to host the show, or you're going to present an award or accept an award, here's the invitation. Keep in mind that, A, you're not just talking, you're not just writing or producing or hosting or presenting for people in a building in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. You are talking to a national audience of all different backgrounds from all over the country, not just New York, not just Los Angeles, but all over the country. Keep in mind also that an award show is out to do two things. One is to honor the art, whether the art is television in this case, or movies, or Broadway and theater, or records, or books, whatever. And keep in mind the other objective of an award show is to encourage people to engage, be empowered, to sample, to be inspired by watching the art. And I would like to suggest to all of you with this message that making the show a forum for inside baseball, for jokes that fly over the head of everyone watching, political diatribes one way or the other way, smearing people or smearing organizations, or being woke or not woke, is a great way to turn people off. You do that the way the Oscars have the last decade or so, or the Grammys have in recent years, and you can bet your last money, as Don Cornelius used to say, that you will have people turning you off, maybe for good. Keep in mind also that you have competition now for these award shows. You have competition from the other broadcast networks and from cable networks and from Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and all the Plus services and all the services that are running like 1S or ONS on smart TV sets and smart devices and multi-channel bundles. Keep in mind that when people turn you off, they're going to go somewhere else. And keep in mind that award shows, the big award shows, are getting nowhere near the mass audience that they have gotten over the last decade because of the kind of shows that they're watching. And frankly, you may be close to going over the cliff. If you keep doing what you're doing, what you've done over the last couple of years, you will go over the cliff when it comes to viewership. And you may not end up on broadcast television anymore. And it may be tough to get another place to go or to have advertisers join you in sponsoring an Emmy Award show. So I invite all of you involved in making this Emmy ceremony happen on Monday night to have that be top of mind. The audience that you are reaching nationally and maybe around the world, they want to be engaged and inspired and celebrate the art that you create. They don't want to be the butt of over-the-head jokes or inside baseball or political diatribe or causes. They want to hear about television and your work, and they want to celebrate the work with you. And they want to acknowledge you for your work. So keep that top of mind. And if you do, you might just be surprised how many more people will tune into this Emmy Award show than the one last year and the years before. It's time for the Emmy Award people, and for that matter, the Oscars and the Grammys, to get their act together when it comes to knowing what a show is all about in their category. It's about celebration. It's about acknowledgement. And it's not treating the audience like a bunch of imbeciles or disrespecting them in any way, shape, or form. They're turning the dial to hear you and to celebrate and to be engaged and inspired. So just do that. Like Nike says a lot, just do it. And I'll leave it there. What do you have to say, folks? We still have some time left, so give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, you can catch the 2022 Primetime Emmy Awards next Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on your local NBC station. And it's also simulcast on the Mega Content Service for NBC Universal, Peacock, which is available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles, and yes, also in some areas, your local cable system, Comcast and others. For more details about the Primetime Emmys, including the results so far, go to NBC.com and Emmys. That's with a plural, Emmys.com. That's NBC.com and Emmys.com. And again, Monday night, September 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Good luck to all the nominees. Incidentally, yours truly will be in the Virtual Press Center next Monday night, and I hope to question some of the winners. We're pulling for a few of them that have been on this program. For example, the producers of Abbott Elementary, which a lot of people think might have a shot at the Best Comedy Award, as I talked about with Mark Berman this past Wednesday. And a number of other shows that we have covered over the year are also up, whether it's made for TV, whether it's miniseries, comedy series, drama series, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yours truly, I'm happy to say, will be in the virtual press room that NBC and the Emmys will provide next Monday night, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to the winners. And we'll let you know if we do on Thursday's episode of that week. Okay? Okay. So, again, let's hear from you before we sign off for the day. 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if we don't get to hear from you now, email me, SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04 at Yahoo.com. Don't forget, you also reach me on social media, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And remember that if you miss any part of our program today, we are available on podcasts. You can check us out at blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out in a few minutes. After the top of the hour, on podcast.google.com. We're on Amazon Music, including on Vizio Smart TV Set. We're also on Apple TV. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on iTunes. We're on Acast Verbal. We're on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. We're on Spotify. And we're on what was before Reason, and now it's Podbine.com. Podbine.com. And by the way, we look great on that website. It's really, really marvelous. So be sure to tune us in. Tell your friends that if they miss us live, we'd love to have them live. Tune us in on our various sites, including our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwilbetelevised.onpodium.com. Remember, tomorrow will be televised. There are hyphens between the words of our show. All righty. And once again, I want to thank Olga Nesterova, who put together our segment of some of her top producers for her network. Again, the network is called OneS. O-N-E-S-T, or Honest, depending on your point of view. And if you want to find out more about that channel, which is now in its third month on the air, on Roku and on other smart TV devices and products, www.honest or onestnetwork.com or onestnetwork.com. Take your pick. It's a free country. www.onestnetwork.com. And we'll keep you posted about how they're doing in terms of other new shows that are going to be coming aboard over the next few months. So again, I want to thank our guests for being on. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, we'll be back with another episode on Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And those of you that have joined us today, for the first time, we'll make us a regular habit. And then we'll be on with our triple header week coming your way, first of two this September. And that will be Monday, Thursday, and Friday. We're not on Tuesday, Wednesday because of the New York City Television Week that's taking place on Madison Avenue, first time in several years since the pandemic. And it's also the 10th anniversary of NYU TV Week. And, by the way, on Wednesday, the 20th anniversary of a marvelous event, the Hispanic Television Summit, which I will be at from start to finish. And, again, on our episode on September 16th, that's 1 week from Friday, among our guests, we'll find out about a project called TV Coin, which is trying to get new networks off the ground and encourage viewers off the bat to watch those networks. We'll have the Chief Executive Officer, Yossi Alani, and Chief Revenue Officer, Gustavo Mara. That's a week from Friday, September 16th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, or you want to be caught up on episodes we've had, and we've had some good ones of late, what you got to do is go to our homepage anytime you like. It's Tomorrow Will Be Televised, / or Tomorrow Will Be it's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Let me say it again, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, check out our podcast. They have this episode coming in a few minutes after the top of the hour. And again, you can catch them on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, including on Vizio TV sets, smart TV sets. Plus, we have podcast.google.com, iHeartRadio.com, Tune.com, a lot of other places, including the redone Reason known as Podvine.com. And, of course, our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about where TV is at, where it's going? What's your thoughts about the Primetime Emmy Awards so far? What's your hope for the predictions for next Monday night? And what do you think about the way that the Emmy Awards should be run next Monday as well? Love to hear from you. We always appreciate what you have to say. So do say it. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. Remember, when you check out our Simon Applebaum04 at yahoo.com, that's how you can get involved in our classic trivia question each week, as well as our show to know feature. It's a great show you like, deserves more attention. Use that email, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. Also, at tomorrowbetelevised.com, we have a question box at the bottom of the screen. Use that. If we use your question on the air, again, you get the credit. So there's lots of ways to get in contact with us, and we get in contact with you afterward. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Again, we hope you had a wonderful Labor Day weekend with the ones you love and then some. And we will be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, all of our podcast stations, and our website. Whatever you're doing between now and Friday, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check your medical record, check out all the alternative treatments available to you right now, some of which are available at your local pharmacy, free of charge, and in many cases without a prescription, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.